Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another Tuesday night edition of The Grueling Truth. I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster. We had no boxing show last week because I was in St. Augustine, Florida, which gave my co-host, Joe Rodriguez, a chance to rest because he's an older gentleman. How you doing tonight, Joe?
I'm all right. I took my Geritol. I'm ready for the show.
Well, we were supposed to have Marvis Frazier as a guest tonight, but since Marvis Frazier is not called in yet, don't know, he might have ran into some difficulties. We have to come up with something off the cuff now, Joe. So I know you mentioned earlier maybe talk top 10 fighters since we've been alive, which we're going to go 1970 to now. We all know you've been alive since the early 1800s. But I'm not near as old as you, so I haven't seen as much as you. I'm not as worldly. So we're going to go 1970 to present. Top 10 boxers in the last, 45 years? You want to start us off with your number 10?
Sure. I don't want to say I was old. I'm old, but I was at the Jess Willard-Jack Johnson fight.
Yeah,
it was really hot
that
day.
You bet on Willard.
It was really hot. I was forced to. The crowd would have killed me if I bet otherwise. Secretly, I was rooting for Johnson, though. Okay, my top 10. We'll start from number 10, and let me tell you, hopefully it will give us some time to talk about the people we left out, because we could have made another top 10 of the people that we left out. Again, to remind everyone, this is from 1970. These are fighters that we remember. So here we go. My number 10 was Michael Spinks. He's arguably the greatest light heavyweight of all time, and he legitimately won the heavyweight championship of the world. Beat the great Larry Holmes twice. Regardless if one of the decisions may have been a little bit controversial. A lot of people just seem to remember Michael Spinks getting beaten by Mike Tyson pretty easily. But look at what he accomplished prior to that. He was a truly great fighter, and for me, a top 10.
Yeah, I agree. He's in my top 10. He's slightly higher. I mean, the thing about Michael Spinks is the light heavyweight division was a very tough division. From about 1977 up through when Spinks relinquished the title after, I think, his last defense was against Eddie Davis, who he beat in a 12-round close decision. Then he went on to beat an old, faded Larry Holmes once. The second time, even though I'm a huge Spinks fan, Holmes beat him the second time. And then he beat Jerry Cooney, much bigger fighter who I think is underrated. I think Jerry Cooney was a good fighter. I know that he wrote that he was drunk during the fight, which makes it a little easier on Spinks to win the fight. But Michael Spinks, to me, is one of the greatest fighters I've ever seen. I mean, he's got to be in anybody's top 10. And the shame of it is he's just remembered for that one fight against Michael Spinks.
And let's
My
talk about the
10.
Other guys, Michael Spinks.
Doesn't have
beat.
To be all about your number 10 guy. But, I mean, yeah, Michael Spinks beat. I mean, he knocked out Yaki Lopez. I mean,
yeah.
Nobody knocked out Yaki Lopez when Yaki Lopez was in his prime. I mean, he dominated Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. He dominated Dwight Braxton, who I know is one of your favorite fighters.
Absolutely. If Marvis is
That's
listening,
all you got
Dwight
is
Muhammad
absolutely.
Reminds me of Joe Frazier.
Yeah, he did. Fought a lot like him, really probably about the same size. And then he moved up to heavyweight division, and George Foreman put him in retirement. But Dwight Muhammad Qawi, Dwight Braxton, whatever you call him, was a great fighter. Michael Spinks took on all comers, beat all comers. And I don't see how you can not have him in the top 10. My number 10 is a guy that I had to include. He's one of my favorite fighters because there's very few guys that every time they're on a pay-per-view fight, you know you're getting your money's worth. My number 10 is Evander Holyfield. Evander Holyfield was probably the greatest cruiserweight that ever lived. Should have been an Olympic gold medalist without the penalty against Kevin Barry, which I don't think it was a late punch, but it wasn't that bad. And a lot of that was the official's fault, I believe, the referee. He goes on to beat Riddick Bowe. He beat Bowe. He only beat him 1 out of 3, but Bowe was a very underrated fighter who I think Holyfield basically ruined. I mean, because he was never the same after his three fights with Evander Holyfield. Holyfield, you know, he knocked out Mike Tyson. He beat Mike Tyson so bad that the second time they fought, so he didn't get beat so bad again, that I think Tyson took the easy way out and fouled him so he didn't have to be embarrassed by being knocked out again. I know he had trouble with Lennox Lewis later on in his career, but I think he was past his prime by then. And even up to the age of 45 or 46, he goes to Germany and fights Nikolai Volyuev, and I thought won the fight, but the decision went to Volyuev in his home country. So, and my number nine.
Holyfield's one of my all-time great fighters, my all-time favorites. I had him a little higher, but no argument there.
Well, my thing is, I think he's higher if he beats Lennox Lewis, which Lennox Lewis is a guy that could definitely be on this list. It probably should be. I mean, the difference between Holyfield and Lewis to me is this. They were both great heavyweight champions. I think Lewis was slightly better. But I also, I mean, for their career, though, when you throw in Holyfield, I mean, how many guys go, I think it's their 12th or 14th fight, and win an undisputed championship, lineal championship, against a guy like Dwight Muhammad Quawi in a 15-round war, is one of the last 15-round championship fights. And, I mean, he gutted that out, defended the cruiserweight title against half the top 10 before he moved up to the heavyweight division. And I think he gets undersold a lot, and I don't know why, other than he wasn't flashy and talked a lot of crap. But we'll move on to my number nine, because my number nine is a guy we just talked about, which is Michael Spinks. So I think we pretty much said all we needed to say about Michael Spinks. Other light heavyweights that I think should have been in this conversation that I think could very easily make a case for the top 10 is a guy like Bob Foster and Roy Jones Jr.
Agreed. Roy Jones I found a little frustrating. He could be great, as in all-time great sometimes, and then for me sometimes he got careless.
Yeah, but the thing about Roy Jones Jr. is this. Nobody ever even came close to beating him in his prime. But his other problem was he never fought a guy like a Darius Mikulchevsky, who was the other light heavyweight champion at the time, who beat Virgil Hill. He wouldn't venture out of this country to go to Germany to settle that. And Mikulchevsky wasn't going to come here either. And then you had guys like Nigel Benn, Gerald McClellan, Stevie Collins, all guys that he probably would have had to go to England to fight, and he didn't do that, which is why he's not on this list. I don't think there's anybody else in my top 10 that wouldn't have traveled out of the country to get in a fight like that. I mean, to me, he played it safe a lot of times. He stayed in his comfort zone and never really pushed it.
Well, my number nine is Lennox Lewis. I thought he was a tremendous fighter, very underrated. He was very strong. He had a great jab. He could hit. He had tremendous size. And my favorite thing of Lennox Lewis, he fought all comers, and he lost only twice. And he not only avenged both losses, he destroyed the guys in rematches. So it really means a lot to me.
Outside of Rocky Marciano, he's the only heavyweight to beat everybody he ever fought.
Yes, and he destroyed the guys, destroyed them. And also knew when to get out. He got out at just the right time. He had a life and death battle with Klitschko. He won the fight, and he quit. And he was very smart about that. He's a top 10 since 1970.
So who's your number eight?
Evander Holyfield. I think Evander would have been great in any era. What he did was absolutely amazing. He had the heart of like a Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, the guys in the 70s. He was a very skilled fighter. He could really hit. He could take a punch. Terrific quickness. One of the great things about Holyfield that I think a lot of people don't really notice, he was a great inside fighter. Great. He had that devastating left hook that he could throw in a phone booth. Really terrific. A great, great fighter and one of my all-time favorites.
All right. My number eight is Larry Holmes. I think Larry Holmes, since 1970, I would say is the second greatest heavyweight that ever lived, behind Muhammad Ali, which Ali from 70 on not as great, but you can't overlook the wins he had there. I mean, when you look at it, Larry Holmes' biggest problem was he followed a living legend of Muhammad Ali, Denny had to fight that legend. And then he beat that legend who was way past his prime. He was sick, couldn't really put up a fight. Then he goes on, and there's really nobody for him to fight until he gets to a guy like a Jerry Cooney, who was really a build-up pretender. I like Jerry Cooney. I think he was very underrated as a boxer. But when you look at his career, his best win was probably against Ken Norton, who was 4 or 5 years past his prime. So I think that hurts Holmes also. But you can't overlook a man who is the legitimate heavyweight champion of the world from 1978 to 1985. And then after he reboots his career in the early 90s, dang near wins the title against Oliver McCall and gave Evander Holyfield all he could handle also when he's in his mid-40s. So, who's your number seven?
My number seven is Salvador Sanchez. He had a short career due to his untimely death at the age of 23. But if you see who he beat in that short career, and if you just watch him, just the eye test, the guy is one of the greatest fighters I've ever seen. He was complete. I mean, I'm looking here. I don't have your recall like you do. Some of the guys he beat in his short career, he beat Azuma Nelson, Wilfredo Gomez. He beat Danny Little Red Lopez twice. The guy was a legitimately great, great fighter. It's so sad that we lost him early. We lost him so soon. He's my number seven.
Well, my number seven is Pernell Whitaker. Pernell Whitaker didn't have a big punch, but they're outside of Willie Pep. I think Pernell Whitaker is probably the greatest defensive fighter I've ever seen. He made Chavez look stupid. Of course, they called it a draw in San Antonio. Wonder how that happened with Don King Promotions. But
right.
Pernell Whitaker beat every lightweight. I mean, the only person, the only two other lightweights that ever dominate the division like that, I think, were Benny Leonard and Roberto Duran. He completely dominated lightweight division. He gets screwed over on the draw against Chavez, which is one of the worst decisions I ever saw. And then he fights, when he's a little bit older in his career, welterweight, which is, what, 12 pounds heavier, against, in his prime, Oscar De La Hoya, who was a great fighter in his own right, and probably would be on this list if you expand it to 20 or 30 guys, at least for me. He might be on yours, I don't know. But I just think that's a one-point fight one way or the other against a guy in his prime, and he really never flat-out lost a fight until Felix Trinidad beat him when he was way past his prime. And he still took Trinidad 12 rounds and gave him trouble during the fight. But what's your opinion on Pernell Whitaker, or do we save that because you got him higher?
No, Pernell Whitaker, I have him on my didn't-make-the-cut list. He was a tremendous fighter. But here's full disclosure, I'm being totally honest. I was not a huge fan of guys who were like almost purely defensive fighters. So other guys who didn't make the cut for me, Wilfredo Benitez, Pernell Whitaker, those kind of fighters. Floyd Mayweather is another one. Yeah, Floyd Mayweather's a tremendous defensive fighter.
Now, there's
those
a huge
kind of
difference,
fighters,
though, between Whitaker and Floyd Mayweather. Whitaker would stand in the pocket and defensively fight you. He didn't really run a lot. He was the Ring Magazine Fighter of the Year a few times, and he was in some good fights. I mean, it wasn't like he ran. If you watch his fight against Hurtado, where he gets knocked down a couple times early in the fight, comes back and ends up knocking Hurtado out later. I mean, I don't see him not being in the top ten. I think you're nuts there, Joe.
Well, let's wait till you hear the rest of my top ten. Maybe I'm not so nuts.
No, you're still nuts, because there's no way one of the two greatest defensive fighters in history could not be on your list.
Well, if you look at my other fighters, then maybe you won't think I'm so crazy.
No, I'm still going to
think you're
crazy. Do you know put it like this. He beat Azuma Nelson. He beat Freddie Pendleton, who was a really good fighter. I mean, come on. He beat Azuma Nelson. Azuma Nelson's a guy that just barely missed this list for me.
Well,
he
let
beat
me ask
Buddy
you a question.
McGirt. What?
Do you think Whitaker should be on the list before the fighters I just mentioned? Salvador Sanchez, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, and Michael Spinks. Those four. Do you think he should be on the list
to
before
some,
those four?
Yes. To some,
really?
Yes. To some, no. You will find that answer out soon. I think he belongs there before Holyfield and Spinks because I got him before Holyfield. He was a more dominant champion than Holyfield.
So your list.
Now, him
means
and Spinks
more.
Were about the same dominance-wise, but I just think that Whitaker, to me, the only lightweight I've ever seen that I think has a chance to beat him is Roberto Duran.
So your list means more to America than my list.
Yes, that's why I'm the host and you're the co-host, and you need to learn the pecking order of this show, or you'll to be replaced. But, all right, now you want to hear
goodness.
My number six?
Go ahead.
I don't know if I want to tell you now. You hurt my feelings. But my number six is Carlos Monzon.
Oh, my gosh, we agree.
Oh, you get the same thing? I'm changing mine.
Absolutely. I have Carlos Monzon number six. Go ahead.
Well, see, now you're starting to get with the program because once you realize what the pecking order is, now you'll agree with me all the time. Correct?
No comment. Go ahead. Talk to me about Carlos Monzon.
Carlos Monzon was one of the most dominant middleweight champions in history. I think there's only been a couple guys that even compare to him middleweight-wise. I think his record was like 87-2, 87-3. He held the undisputed world middleweight championship for 7 years. He defended a title 14 times. I mean, he beat a lot of great fighters. He beat guys like Emil Griffith, Benny Briscoe, Rodrigo Valdez. I think he beat a couple times. And Rodrigo Valdez is a guy that, you know, could make a case to be on the second or third list of top tens if you go to 20 or 30. Go ahead. Give me your Carlos Monzon.
He beat Jose Napoles. He was a Nino Benvenuti. I'm looking at his career. I don't have total recall like you. So, I remember watching him. He was a great fighter. And let me tell you, for the audience, I was no Monzon fan. In fact, I couldn't stand him, and I rooted against him in almost every fight. So every fight I watched him, he disappointed me with his performance. He was just a dominant fighter, and he dominated some tremendous fighters. The one I was very surprised that he dominated, two fights I remember distinctively was the Jose Napoles fight and the two fights against Rodrigo Valdez, especially the first one, because people were touting that Valdez had a real shot to beat him, and I was really rooting for him. And he won that fight fair. I mean, it was kind of close, but I always felt that he was in control.
Well, the Napoles fight, I mean, that was a 160-pound champion against a 147-pound champion, and I think that Monzon was more in his prime at the time, where I think Napoles was more on the downturn. I think he lost to Billy Backus shortly after that or shortly before that, one way or the other. But, and Jose Napoles would probably be my, like, number 11 or 12 guy since 1970. I think he was one of the greatest welterweights of all time. I know you had the same opinion of him.
Yes.
Who's in your number six was Monzon also. Who's your number five?
Muhammad Ali. Now, before anyone screams out there, we're talking about Muhammad Ali from 1970 to now. If we were talking from 60, Ali would be number one. But from 70, fighters that we've watched, Ali was involved in some of the greatest heavyweight fights of all time. He was not the fighter that he was before the exile. Still a great fighter, but more flat-footed. And he fought some of the hardest punchers. Listen, the first Frazier fight, he gave Frazier everything, and Frazier had to be at his very best to beat him.
So is Ali your number
Ali,
five? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Absolutely. I guess everybody
he's
knows
my number five
career,
also.
But,
this is getting scary, Jim.
Wow. And listeners, we did not talk about our list prior to the broadcast, so this is legit.
No, because we didn't know that we were going to have to do this, so...
Yes.
And once again, you're listening to The Grueling Truth. It's our Tuesday night boxing edition with myself and Joe Rodriguez. We're discussing the top 10 fighters basically in our lifetime, which is 1970 to now. And we are now up to Joe's number four.
Okay, number four was Roberto Duran. Before you naysayers talk about No Mas, he was arguably the greatest lightweight of all time. And he legitimately beat one of the great fighters of all time for the welterweight title. He held the title, if I'm not mistaken, for 7 years. He totally dominated, and he wasn't just a slugger. He was a great boxer. He was very slick, very well-schooled. Roberto Duran is number four for me.
Number four for me is Sugar Ray Leonard. My difference between, Duran's a little bit higher for me than Sugar Ray Leonard. And the main reason is what you just said. I mean, he was one of the dominant light heavyweight champions of all time. To me, he's up there with Benny Leonard, Pernell Whitaker, and I just don't see. To me, Sugar Ray Leonard was one of the greatest fighters that ever lived. I mean, all time, he makes a case to be top 10 or better. And if you look at the guys he beat, he beats Wilfred Benitez to win the title. I mean, before he won the title, he beat really good fighters. I mean, he was not a guy that was coddled, which I know is what most everybody, including myself, thought, even though I was only like 11 years old at the time. I thought when he fought Benitez, he would be exposed. He dominates Benitez. He fought Roberto Duran the first time, and as I've said before on other shows, to me, the first Duran fight is what made him a legend to me. Because unlike some people who get in a multi-million dollar closed circuit or pay-per-view fight, instead of running and trying to win like that, he actually stood, put on a show, and showed everybody what kind of person he was. And he had a ton of heart. He was a great fighter. He did the same thing against Tommy Hearns. Tommy Hearns was beating him into the 13th, 14th round. And Sugar Ray Leonard went after the puncher and basically destroyed him in the 14th round. Then he goes on to lose to Marvin Hagler, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
But then he comes back.
I agree.
But then he comes back and he beats Donnie Lalonde, who was a very good light heavyweight. And I'm not saying that just because he's been on the show a couple times. But Donnie Lalonde was legitimate and could hit. And, I mean, Leonard gutted that out, came back. He was behind on points, came back, won the fight. And then he fights Tommy Hearns, where I thought he got a gift decision again there. But once again, he was the guy in the 12th round that was battering Hearns. You know, if that's a 15-round fight, Leonard probably gets him in the 14th round again. So, my number three, and we got a caller on hold. I think it's Dave, and I think he wants to make fun of your Pernell Whitaker not being in the top 10 thing. But
be kind,
but
Dave.
But my number three is Roberto Duran. Like you said, lightweight champion of the world for 7 years. Beat a very good fighter to win the title in Ken Buchanan. Defended the title against everybody. He beat people of all styles. He beat Esteban De Jesus twice after De Jesus upset him in a non-title fight. Then he moves up to welterweight, beats guys like Monroe Brooks, Zeferino Gonzalez, guys like that to get a title shot. And then he goes to Montreal and he beats Sugar Ray Leonard, which is a close fight, could go either way. I did have Duran winning the fight by a point. Then he comes back for whatever reason and throws the stinker up against him in the second one. But then if you move on in his career, you get the fight in, I mean, I know the fight you talk about all the time because I think you were there against Davey Moore where he wins that fight to win the title. And then a few years later, you know, he comes up and he beats Iran Barkley. And, I mean, the guy belongs up there. And like I said, the difference between him and Leonard to me is the fact that he dominated one division for 7 years and cleaned it out.
Well, we were very close. My number three was Sugar Ray Leonard, listeners, I hated Sugar Ray Leonard, but he was a great fighter. He had better balance than any fighter I ever saw. Always in a position to throw a punch from any angle. For me, what gave Leonard the edge over Duran was the fact that he beat Hearns, and Duran got destroyed by Hearns, and he beat Hagler. Although I didn't think he beat him, but he gave Hagler a better fight than Duran gave him. He was a more versatile fighter. He could fight different styles. Three and four really can't go wrong. But Ray Leonard was my number three.
All righty. Well, remember, you're listening to Grueling Truth. This is the live portion of the show, which will run for another 5 minutes. And then we got another 15 minutes of archived time, which at the top of the hour, which would be midnight Eastern time, 9 o'clock Pacific, you can actually go to Blog Talk Radio, or you can go to the Grueling Truth Facebook page. Or if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, you can go there and hear the entire show. We have a caller online, which I believe is Dave, who's called a few times before. You there, Dave?
Yes, I am. Hey, gents. How you doing, Mike? How you doing, Joe?
All right. Now, see, Dave sent me a message that of his top 10 off the top of his head. And then, you know, I told him he'd call in if he wanted it, and he kept reiterating it's off the top of his head. But this is off the top of our head, too, Dave, so.
Fair enough. So I'm working on a top 100 series for my website. So I want to stipulate that whatever I say now, I reserve to reserve the right to change my mind.
Well, Dave, I'm going to keep you on here because I've been on your football site before, and I have a bone to pick with you about two certain teams. But we'll let that go for now. But so far, we're not going to pick me apart because we know I'm right. So what we'll do is tell Joe he's crazy for not having Pernell Whitaker in his top 10.
Personally, I have Whitaker on my top 10. I think he has to be there. Based on the fact that, you know, what he did to Chavez, he essentially didn't lose legitimately for the first, and really until the end of his career when he faced
Trinidad.
Yeah,
maybe the De La Hoya fight, definitely the Trinidad fight he lost.
Yes. Yeah, he boring to watch, but definitely an all-time great.
Well, we'll just let you add your two cents here as we go. Joe, who's your number two?
My number two is Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes, you mentioned earlier, I'll be brief with him. He was a great fighter, a complete fighter. He could punch. He had arguably the greatest jab in the history of the division. For me, up there with Joe Lewis and George Foreman. He could take a punch. You thought he was out, and he came back and not only survived, but he won. He was clutch. He was great. Suffered in the Shadow Valley. For me, he's number two since 1970 for me.
See, I love Larry Holmes. But my problem with putting Larry Holmes any higher than what I had him, which was eighth, was this. And it's not his fault, but he never really beat any great fighters. I mean, to me, Kenny Norton was a really good heavyweight. You know, Kenny Norton was really good. Ernie Shavers was good, but he was just a guy with a big punch. My problem is you got guys like Duran and Leonard. You know, Duran beat Leonard. Leonard beat Duran. They both beat legends right there. Duran beat DeJesus. He beat Buchanan. Leonard beat Tommy Hearns. Leonard beat Marvin Hagler. I don't see how you can have a guy like Holmes, whose biggest win was probably against Kenny Norton, and then who's his second biggest win? Probably Jerry Cooney. I mean, I don't see, or Ernie Shavers and Cooney, I don't see where the quality of competition matches up there.
I would agree. Holmes is probably a top 10 all-time heavyweight. But he wouldn't be on my top 10 of the best fighters of the last 45 years. He probably comes in somewhere between 11 and 15 on my list.
I'm going to get Larry Holmes' personal email.
Come on, Dave.
No, I'm going to get Larry Holmes your home addresses. He's going to visit you soon.
That's fine. I'm ready for him, unless you're talking to Dave. I don't know if Dave's ready or not, but...
Both of you.
From pictures, Dave looks smaller than me. So.
Okay, who's your number one?
Well, I haven't given you my number two yet, but if you don't want to know, that's
fine. Go ahead. I my apologies. Go ahead.
I know. You're just trying to force the issue here. But number two for me is Salvador Sanchez. I know a lot of people will say he was only 24, but he'd also won 45, 46 fights, 44 fights. Beat Danny Little Red Lopez. That'd be Ruben Castillo, Robert Castaneda. I mean, he beat a lot of guys who were really good. Wilfredo Gomez, to me, was probably his biggest win. I know Azuma Nelson was early in his career, but technically, he was a great fighter. And I know you had him a lot lower. So what do you think about Salvador Sanchez, Dave?
Again, he would be a tough omission on my list. Great fighter. Probably somewhere of all time, somewhere in my top 30 or 40. But the, you know, certainly not his fault, but the lack of longevity hurts him compared to some of the other greats. And I just, you know, as I look at my list, I can't as I look at my top 10, I can't see who I would put him ahead of.
Well, who's on your top 10?
Well, a quick counterpoint there about Sanchez. Yes, he had a brief career, but I'm just looking at his record here. He beat Azuma Nelson.
He
beat Wilfredo Gomez. He beat Danny Little Red Lopez mm-hmm. twice. He beat Juan Laporte. He beat tremendous fighters. He also beat Felix Trinidad, Sr.
I don't think he was related, though, was he?
I don't know.
Three Hall of Famers, certainly nothing to sneeze at. But, yeah, it's an exclusive list, and it's largely a matter of opinion.
Well, Joe, I think our number one's going to be the same since you've left out somebody that's a glaring omission. Who's your number one?
Yes, Marvin Hagler. Mm-hmm. Marvin Hagler was as dominant a fighter as there ever was in my lifetime, and the only guy who comes close to me is Roberto Duran. Some people say Pernell Whitaker. I mean, not Pernell Whitaker. Look, there's a Freudian slip there. Floyd Mayweather. But I don't think Mayweather's in Duran or Hagler's class. Hagler was, every time I thought somebody was going to give him a hard time, he not only beat them, he destroyed them. He destroyed them. And he beat some tremendous fighters.
He only lost one fight legitimately, I think. And that would have been, Willie Monroe? Because Bobby Boogaloo Watts, I think he beat, from all accounts I've seen. What's your opinion, Dave?
I love Marvin Hagler. Definitely among the top five middleweights of all time.
Oh, there's a butt coming. There's a butt coming.
I have him actually at number six on my list, which is pretty damn good.
Who's your number one?
Who's Duran?
Okay.
Duran.
I'm not going to argue with Duran at number one.
Probably the top lightweight of all time. Fought for what? 30 some years. Defeated Sugar Ray Leonard. Probably among the top two or three welterweights of all time. I think Duran is definitely probably my top 5 to 7 all time pound for pound ever.
Well, see, I love Duran also.
I want to hear the other guys, Dave.
Still
I have
second
to hear.
Fight.
Dave, I have to hear 2 through 5.
Oh, okay. So my top 5 are Mayweather, as much as I don't particularly like him, and a lot of people don't like him. He's been the most dominant fighter in boxing over the past 15 years. He's boring as all get out. But his longevity can't be ignored, and he's cherry-picked his opponents or been opportunistic, but, the overall resume can't be ignored. My number 4 is Whitaker. Who I think we talked about. My number 3 is Leonard, Sugar Ray Leonard. And my number 2 is Muhammad Ali.
Well, I'm going to argue with you one, Floyd Mayweather. And you actually gave us the reason why I argue Mayweather on this list. You said he cherry-picked opponents, which he did. Marvin Hagler avoided nobody. Nobody. He fought every single comer without fail. And he dominated almost every single one. And I think he beat Leonard in that last fight, too. But that's my thing with Marvin Hagler. He fought everybody. You can't say that about Mayweather. So there's still questions about Mayweather, to me. But not a bad list, Dave. I'm not going to send Larry Holmes to your house now.
I think you should send Larry Holmes to Dave's house.
I have all the respect in the world for Larry Holmes.
You better.
So where does Larry Holmes rank on your top 10 heavyweights?
For me personally, I'd probably put him somewhere between 7 and 10.
Well, who's your
number
one,
Ollie?
Okay,
let's talk about
guys who didn't make the list. I mean, for me, the one that stand out is I thought Jose Napoles was a great welterweight.
Yes.
You know, guys like Jose Napoles, Azuma Nelson was a great fighter. I don't think he's probably in my second or third top ten, but Floyd Mayweather. I mean, it's just there's too many times where he fought guys that were good fighters, but he made them compromise themselves so that he would have an unfair advantage. Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Roy Jones, Bernard Hopkins, Alexis Arguello, Aaron Pryor, Lennox Lewis. But who were some of yours, Joe?
Well, one guy you didn't mention, a few guys you didn't mention, Tommy Hearns. And you're going to be surprised I'm saying this, Mike Tyson.
John Ruiz.
He's not a top 10, but he did dominate for a while. He did dominate, and that can't be discounted. So he didn't make the cut for my top 10. But you can argue that Tyson is a top 25 fighter.
No, I don't think you can make that argument. Who'd he beat?
Michael Spinks.
Yeah, it was a blown-up light heavyweight with two bad knees.
Listen, there's something to be said for dominance. If we're arguing about who did Mike Tyson beat,
but
we'll
that dominance was against fighters that weren't very good.
Hold on. If we're arguing about dominance with Mike Tyson, then we also have to give that same argument to Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes also dominated. As a question
about
his
Larry Holmes beat Ken Norton, Ernie Shavers, Jerry Cooney. Oh, Jerry Cooney was a hell of a lot better than anybody that Mike Tyson beat.
I agree. But I'm just saying that he's worth being in the conversation because he did dominate for a while. I never think he was a great fighter, but he did dominate for a while, and he's a top 25 guy, maybe.
My problem is this. Guys that he fought that I didn't think were bums, guys like Tony Tucker, guys like James Quick Tillis, all gave him trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of a guy that I thought really had a chance, except I thought Carl DeTruth Williams had a chance because of the way he boxed, but I think they stopped the fight too soon. But outside of that, I didn't really see anybody there.
That was fishy.
And probably,
his best
win was probably Razor Ruddock, but Razor Ruddock only threw one punch at a time was tailor-made for Tyson.
And didn't know how to fight. And he's also talking of coming back, believe it or not.
Razor Ruddock?
Quickly, a couple of names that we didn't mention. I have Vitali Klitschko. He's been too dominant. You can't ignore it. And where's the other one I had? I had someone on my list here. I can't find it. Well, Klitschko's one that I had.
Hey, can you think of anybody we missed, Dave?
Well, Foster comes to mind, but I think you mentioned him. All-time great light heavyweight, probably in the top 3 to 5 of all time. A guy like Ruben Olivares, who ruled at bantamweight and featherweight, and, you know, was a tremendous puncher.
Hey, Ricardo Lopez.
Ricardo Lopez, he's an interesting one. Undefeated, very long reign, but it was strawweight and junior flyweight. So how do you really evaluate that?
Yeah, because me and Joe, before we had like a four-minute discussion before this at 10:50, and my opinion was this. If he weighs 106 pounds, I can probably beat him up so he doesn't belong on the list.
I am a small guy, and I outweigh him by a good 45, 50 pounds.
I just got a message from somebody named Anthony George who's listening and enjoying the show. And I didn't make that up, but
thank you.
Now there's a little problem we have here, Dave, that we need to discuss. It's probably the big, I don't know, whatever you call it in the room, the big shadow in the room or something. But
the white elephant.
You did an all-time Super Bowl tournament thing, and you had the 1989 49ers beat the 1988 Bengals 31-6. Could you explain that to me, please?
Well, first of all, I used a simulation program to generate the results.
Oh, don't give me the simulation stuff. Just explain to me, Dave, why you picked that score. We all know you're a simulator,
think...
Super Tecmo Bowl, Dave. Come on. Which is a damn good game, by the way.
Well, I think, yeah, it's not a detraction to the 88 Bengals. It's more... I think the 89-49ers team was that good. Maybe statistically they weren't the best offense ever. There have been many teams that have scored more points and gained more yards, but, you know, the eye test, I've never seen anything like that team with Montana, Jerry Rice, the way they blew out the Broncos in that Super Bowl, and I think they outscored the opposition in the playoffs by like a ridiculous 35 points a game. So it's more a tribute to them than, you know,
now you do realize
on
in
the
1990,
Bengals.
In 1990 with basically the same team, they beat the Bengals 20-17 in overtime. In 88, they beat them in the Super Bowl in the last second. And in 87, they beat the Bengals in the last second of a regular season game. So the 31-6 is my problem, not who you said would win. I was very disrespectful to the greatest organization in football history, the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, laughing will get you nowhere, Dave. And I know Joe's laughing too, but
I know Joe's a Giants fan.
You know one thing that people don't know about the Giants, even though they won all the Super Bowls? They're one of the very few teams in NFL history that has a losing lifetime, all-time record against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, really?
Sadly, Dave, that is true.
The Bengals just own the New York Giants. The Bengals could win a Super Bowl if they could get to it when the New York Giants are there.
That might be true.
What do you mean might be? It is. We beat you all the time. It's boring when we play the Giants. I don't even watch it anymore. It's like, this is over. I think they're just intimidated by our uniforms.
They're
like 2-5, right?
Yeah.
The Giants 2-5 against the Bengals, something like that?
I don't know. You lose all the time, though.
We
beat you in 77. We beat you in 85. I mean, we would have beat you in 82, but you had the strike season that saved your ass because we were supposed to play on Monday Night Football, and we'd have hammered you then. And then the last time we played, we hammered you. So it gets kind of old, but... Hey, at least Dave, as a Patriots fan, now can look at the Houston Astros and St. Louis Cardinal thing and say, see, they did it too.
Yeah. don't even talk to me about that.
The Bengals
actually, what the Cardinals did, what the Cardinals did was a lot worse than what the Patriots did.
I just looked it up. The Bengals are 5-3 lifetime against the Giants, with the Giants' last win coming in 2004.
See, this is the thing. It would take like 8 years for you guys even to tie.
No, it has to be 6-3 because the last time, in 2012, yeah, this is old. In 2012,
yeah, we beat the hell
the
out
Bengals,
of you in 2012.
Absolutely, yeah, that's true. So it's 6-3.
Yep. Which is why I'm the host and you're the co-host.
Yeah, but this makes sense. This misinformation makes sense because I got it from the Bengals site. So if they're typical Bengals, they can't even keep track of their own victories.
Well, they can keep track of being in the playoffs every year for the last 4 years. Well, you guys can't even beat the Dallas Cowboys. But
okay.
I'll digress. I mean, everybody knows the Bengals are the greatest organization in football history. But
absolutely.
Since we've
never
started talking about the Bengals, everybody's probably stopped listening. So for the people left, I want to bring up that Thursday night we will have former three-time Pro Bowl running back Gerald Riggs from the Atlanta Falcons and then the Washington Redskins. Next Tuesday night, we'll have a boxing show. I don't know who the guest will be. Hopefully, Marvis Frazier will feel bad about standing us up and come on the show then. But we'll look for somebody else in the meantime. Next Wednesday night, former San Francisco 49er George Vizgar will be on. He was the subject of an ESPN Outside the Lines segment. He was one of the guys that brought the original concussion, I guess the concussion trial with the NFL to light. He'll be on to talk about that. And then next Thursday night's a huge guest. We got the Nigerian Nightmare, Christian Okoye, who will be on. And I'm going to try to get John Ruiz next Tuesday for Joe Rodriguez because he loves John Ruiz. But any final words, Joe?
Yes, John Ruiz makes me ashamed to be Puerto Rican. Have a good night, everyone.
Hey, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thursday night, Gerald Riggs will be on the...